chapter 18, verse 22. Now, we're just going to read that one verse. But I love this verse. Y'all may have noticed, you listen to me preach, I like a lot of verses. Truth is, there's 31,877 verses in the Bible, and I like almost all of them. Now, there's a couple I really don't care for. There really is. There's a couple of verses. If I could rewrite the Bible, and I can't, but if I could, there's a couple of verses I'd leave out. That love your enemies thing, I would not be in there. That forgive them that despitefully use you, that wouldn't be in there. See? I would have made some minor modifications, but you can't talk the Lord out of anything. He's going to have His way as sure as you live and breathe. Amen. Now, Proverbs 18:22 said, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing." And look at this. You got a wife, you not only found a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That is, you got a good wife, it's because God has been good to you. The best thing in this life for a man is a wife. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I didn't say the best thing in this world for a man is a woman. You can get a woman on any street corner. They are literally a nickel apiece these days. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. The moral fabric of America is somewhere below the surface of the sewer. And our morals, our morality is just non-existent. And never in the history of the world has a nation or the world saw so many loose women. When women go south, when women decline, the whole nation declines. Well, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, see? The women are the part of our society that keeps men on an even keel. And when the women lose their conscience, when they lose their character, when they throw away their morals, the whole country goes to the devil, because men are essentially like dogs. The unsaved man is like a dog in that he will take what he can get where he can get it. And so the restraining force in society has always been the female. And when they become corrupted, there's nothing left in society to keep us straight. And the reason America's in the mess that it's in today is because we finally wore the women down and they threw in the towel. And we're in a mess. Now, I'm a recommender, I'm a promoter of marriage. If you sold Kirby vacuum cleaners, I could sell marriage door to door. And I think I'd be a pretty good salesman too. For one thing, I've tried it and found the product to be everything it was advertised to be. Amen. I found that there is no greater blessing in this world than the love of a good and faithful wife. Now, you can find a woman, you can get a female, and God only knows what you're getting. But if you find a wife, and there's a lot of difference between just a woman and a wife. A wife is that woman who doesn't just sleep with you. She loves you. She cares about you. She promotes you. She frets when you have trouble. If you're upset, she's upset. If you hurt, she hurts. She's not just there for a few good times and some fun. She's there in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. She loves you for who you are and not what you have. Don't ever mistake a wife as just being a woman. They are not the same thing. Amen. Amen. Now, that verse said, "Blessed is the man that finds a wife." I want to talk to you about why it's good for a man to have a wife. And it's good. God said it was good. God's not dumb. God is the creator of the product. He does, in fact, know what you need. Amen? You know, I go to a lot of big plants and stuff, and they'll have this big, state-of-the-art, high-tech machinery. I was out at Hella Lighting the other day, and that plant is just filled to overflowing with all this robotic equipment. I mean, it just... They got an operator that stands there and watches a screen because the machine does everything. They got these little arms that come down and pick it up, go over and drop it over there, and another little arm picks it up and moves. I mean, it's just wild to watch all that stuff. High tech, state of the art. Stays broke a lot, but it's really great when it's working. Amen. But with all that machinery, there comes a book. An installation manual tells you how to put it in. And then there is a instruction manual that tells you how to operate it. And there is a maintenance manual that tells you how to keep it working. You need all three of them. Amen. Every piece of machine in the world comes with those kind of instructions. Because everything wears down, everything breaks, nothing is perfect in this old world. And it's going to have to be fixed and repaired. They send a book with it to help you and to enable you to do that. And the manufacturer and the designer of that equipment knows what kind of maintenance it's going to have. They've tested it. They know what kind of problems are going to pop up. And so they have designed that book specifically for the problems that are going to occur with their piece of machinery. Amen? Now listen, God made man and God made woman. And God knows what kind of problems we're going to have. He knows the machine. So He has given us an operator's manual and a maintenance manual on how to keep it working like it's supposed to work. And if God said that it's good for a man to have a woman as the creator, as the designer, as the engineer, as the one who has done the testing on all the prototypes, nobody is in a better position to determine what a man needs and what's good for him than God. Amen. Amen. And all this free love and nickel beer thing, all this, let's shack up and let's just live together, they think they're being wise and they're not really ready to make a commitment, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you ain't got a clue in this world what you're talking about. God said that it was good for a man to have a wife. God is in the business of commitment. Now, in the Bible, there are all kind of things that you can learn about husbands and wives. And I've been preaching on them and teaching on them for years, so probably not much new I can say tonight, but I'd like to reiterate some things we've been over before. Let me give you about 10 or 11 or 12 things in the Bible about the husband-wife relationship. And then I have a little five-point message on why it's good for a man, why it's good for a man to have a wife. But I want to give you these other 10 or 11 things to show you that God has a tremendous insight into us and into husbands and wives. He has a tremendous insight into men and to women. You know that God is not unaware that men have one psychology and women have another, and that men have one physiology and women have another. None of that has escaped God. Amen. Amen. Now, it's escaped the modern educator. They think we're both the same. They think we're equal. Now, that shows you, if somebody can look at a man and look at a woman and declare we're both the same and that we're equal, mentally, physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and all that, amen, what you know is that God's smarter than they are because God knows that ain't so. Amen. Number one. In the Bible, the number one relationship a man is supposed to have is supposed to be with his wife. Amen. Genesis 2:24. Way back in the beginning of the Bible. Before things got all messed up. I'm talking about way back when things were like they were supposed to be. You know what God said? God said in Genesis 2:24 that the man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So what does that mean? That means you don't let any other relationship mess up the relationship between husband and wife. If mama and daddy get in the way, then you got to get mama and daddy out of the way. If your friends are a hindrance to your marriage, if your relatives are a hindrance to your marriage, if his mom and daddy or your mom and daddy or anybody else's mom and daddy or grandma or grandpa are a hindrance to your marriage, then wherever they are hindering, you get them out of the way, because your number one relationship in this world, outside of your relationship to God Almighty, is to your spouse. And anybody or anything that hinders my relationship with my wife, you're gone. You understand that? Amen. Number two. A man ought to use discretion when listening to his wife. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, God asked Adam this question, "Hast thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife?" In Job 2 and verse 9, Job's wife said, "Curse God and die." Now Adam listened to his wife, and he shouldn't have. Amen. And Job did not listen to his wife, and he shouldn't have. Amen. You got to have a little discretion about listening to what they have to say. They're a helpmate. I'm going to get in trouble. They are not the head of the house. They don't run the show. Now, if you're not careful, they will. It's just their nature. Don't get mad at them for it. Don't try to fix it. There ain't no fixing it. It's a genetic thing. It's just as much a part of a woman as anything to want to run it. They just got that thing in them. I guess it's because they have to take care of them kids, and they tell them kids all the time what to do and how to dress and where to go. And men act like the kids, and so it's just natural that it carries over. That's called sucking up. But there's a lot of truth in it. You know, women just, that house and that household is their whole world. We're out in it most of the time, and so we have a different perspective on things. But women, a woman who loves a man and loves her children, that husband, that children, and that home, that is her whole world. Amen? They're our helpmate, and they have a lot of input, but we're not to let them run it. You are to remain the head, but you ought to listen to what they got to say. God gave them to you to be a helpmate, and a lot of times they got a lot of insight. They got a lot of input that is worthwhile. But it is still up to us, gentlemen, to make that final decision. Amen? Amen. Sometimes their advice is wonderful. Sometimes it's bad. And sometimes you have to turn it down. You say, "Well, if I don't do what she said, she'll get mad." Okay, let her get mad. Have you not noticed, have you not learned that people who get mad, if you just ignore them, after they can't stay mad forever, sooner or later they get over it. My policy is wear them down. I ain't giving in. If I'm right, amen, now make sure you're right. Not just boneheaded, make sure you're right. But if you're right, they just get mad. So don't you care if your wife gets mad? Of course I care. It's hell around the house for a long time if she gets mad. That old thing about it, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. There's a lot of truth in that. Amen? But it doesn't undermine the fact that she's wrong. And it's my decision and I answer for it. Amen? And sooner or later, she'll just get over it. I can see right now some of y'all are not going to pay that price. Oh, well. Where was I at? Number three. I may not get to this message when I hurry up. But I'm having a lot of fun. Have you ever noticed this? That a man will do almost anything to get the woman he wants. Isn't that amazing? Over in Genesis chapter 29, verse 21, he said, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled." Now that's a story over there about a fellow who agreed to work for 7 years to get the woman he wanted. That's romantic, isn't it? And the Bible said, "And it seemed but a few days for the love, great love he had for her." He worked 7 years and it was just like that.
And it was time to get married. Boy, that boy is excited, I'm telling you. He went down to the barber shop and he got his hair cut. He put on him a new linen robe. Spit shined his sandals and trimmed his toenails. Had some special barbecued goat meat fixed up. He's excited. It's wedding night. Man, him and the boys all get together and have their little party and eat and talk and everybody laughs and jokes, you know, and you know how they tease you about getting married and that first night, all that stuff. And he just takes it. It's a sad story. A sad story. He went through all that and he woke up the next morning and he said, and behold, in the morning, it was Leah. Now that fool didn't know it all night long. I say this is a man who is preoccupied. That's what I think. So he worked 7 more years to get the right one. It was just like that. Now I tell you what, that boy wanted that woman. Amen? If you're willing to wait 14 years to get her, she's important. Now if you have to watch men when they're dating and courting, son, we'll pretend to be whatever they want. I was reading, I've been preaching for years, what you date is not what you marry. Say, so why? Because she's putting on her best front. She's fixing up, fixing her hair and her lipstick and her teeth are all clean and she gargles with love for us. And she wears them pretty little outfits and she finds out what kind of hairstyle you like and what color lipstick you like, what kind of perfume you like. And when you say, where you want to go tonight? Wherever you want to go. And I don't care what kind of hamburger you feed her, she likes it. Amen? And that boy, he's just trying to be as nice as he can. We'll go wherever you want to go. And he spends his money so freely. And yes, sweetheart. And boy, he's just complimentary. And he takes good care of her. And he opens and closes the door. And he comes and knocks on the door to pick up his date. And he just acts like a gentleman. And he never burps or does anything in her presence. Lord have mercy. That's just you go right out the window, isn't it? I'll tell you what, buddy, when reality sets in, it's ugly. And then they get married. And you can't live in that false setting forever. Amen? Sooner or later, you've got to let the cat out of the bag about who you really are. But boy, in order to get that girl, he'll do anything. Spend any amount of money. Make any promise. I just wish we meant it. You know what you said in your wedding vow? That you promised to love, cherish, and obey. Amen? In sickness and in health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. Half the people that say that don't mean it. Half the people who say that are lying through their teeth. You know what they're doing? They're saying whatever they got to say to get what they want. That's what they're doing. Where was that? Men must have respect for his wife's femininity. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we're not marrying our buddy. We're marrying a girl. And they are so different. They are not like us. It may be found out sometime in the future that women really are from another planet. The Bible said in 1 Peter 3:7, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now the feminists would take that verse out. But God put it in there. Your wife is different from you. Now you may have noticed that casually, that they're not shaped like us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, I've looked at a lot of men in my lifetime. I mean, you see them pass by all the time. And I'll be honest with you, in 61 and a half years, none have ever caught my eye. Not once. I read some psychologist one time that said we all have latent homosexual tendencies. I thought, this man's fucking talking for himself.
Amen.
He ain't talking for me. If I got them, they are certainly secret, buddy. I don't know anything about them. I think I came into the world liking little girls. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All you men that are honest. Men, I mean, I've just seen thousands and thousands of them. But there's just something about the way that God changed the shape on the second model. There's something about the way God put girls together that just absolutely captures our mind and our heart and our imagination. Say it ain't so.
Amen.
It is so.
Amen.
We just like the way they look. Amen?
Amen?
Some of you men ought to be a little more enthusiastic. And some of you ladies ought to be going, hey.
Amen.
But we must remember that she's female. It never ceases to amaze me that a fellow get married, and as soon as he gets married, he wants to spend all of his time with his buddies. Well, why don't you marry one of them? A sweetheart? Yeah, you know, they've been married a few months or a year or so, and now they got a baby or two, and mama's pretty much trapped at the house with them squalling, screaming little monsters all day long. And he comes home in the afternoon and says, listen, I'm going to run over to Ronnie's house, and we're going to go fishing for a couple of hours. So he comes in, cooks, eats the dinner she's cooked, dashes out the door, goes and spends all of his time with his buddies, and wonders when he comes home why she's not happy. She wouldn't mind a little attention. She wouldn't mind you talking to her sometime other than the time you're trying to drag her off to the back room. She'd like to be treated like a human being. She'd like to have some respect. Amen? She's not one of your buddies. She's female. And you better find out what makes them tick if you can. And then treat them that way and show them a little respect and have some respect for who they are. It wouldn't hurt you to make your wife your best friend.
Amen.
Are we having fun? I'm having fun. Where was I at? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, a man is supposed to love his wife. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives. You know why it says that? Because it also says, and be not bitter against them. As wonderful as women are, and there's nothing. You know the prettiest thing on the planet? Have you ever seen a woman who was attractive, but knew how to dress and had that air of being a lady about her? There's nothing more beautiful than that on the planet. A woman who looks and acts like a lady is the most exciting creature you can find. Amen. Now, we've got it all mixed up these days. We want them to be as sexy as they can be. Or as provocative as they can be. Wear something tight, thin, clingy, revealing. And say, oh, she's sexy. Yeah, she may be. But she looks like the whole world has had her. Find that lady who has that air of superiority that's just not aloof, but a cut above. That has that look of refinement and dignity and a manner of carriage. That's exciting. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And brother, our generation has lost that. I thank God for every woman that dresses and acts and behaves and carries herself like a lady.
Amen.
Now, we're to love them. I don't know how I got off on that other tirade. Yeah. Now, as lovely as they are, and I kind of got carried away with that point, but it's just so easy. They have certain characteristics that do not endear themselves. I always look for the best way. Well, almost always. Women have a way of irritating.
Sometimes the way my wife said, "Did you pick that thing up like you said you were going to?" Now see, she put all the guilt right back on me. She could have said, "Did you pick up that bottle or that cup or whatever it was?" Or she could say, "Would you?" But she's got to remind me that I said I would and I didn't. Just got to hit me with it, don't you? I mean, just stick me again. Don't you understand? I'm already aware of my failures and my shortcomings. I don't know what it is about women, but they just have a way of irritating men. They don't think like we think. They take the most trivial, insignificant things and make them important.
Amen.
And they don't amount to a hill of beans.
Amen.
I don't know why they can't get involved in things that are essential. It's just a different mindset. Amen? Now, you have to take that into account. You say, "I'm going to change it." No, you're not. You're back in that common gene pool again, son. I'm here to tell you, that thing's as fixed as anything can be. Buddy, when God mixed up them X and Y chromosomes and all that stuff and messed up the formula and made a woman, there ain't no changing it. It is fixed once for all forever. What you better learn to do is you learn how they work and what makes them tick and what they like and what they don't like and learn to accommodate each other.
Amen.
By the way, ladies, you ain't going to change him a bit more than the man in the moon. Here's some little old naive, dumb funk girl ain't got the sense God gave a brass monkey. Got some bad boy and she thinks she's going to change him. He loves me. And we get married. I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll change. No, you won't. What you're going to do is fuss and fight and raise hell till Jesus comes.
Amen.
And you're going to be miserable because you ain't going to change Him. You better find one you can live with the way He is because changing Him ain't going to happen. If God don't change them, they don't get...
Amen.
Now, that's a great point to follow that with. The Bible said that a man is to live joyfully with his wife. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Ecclesiastes 9, 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. For this is thy portion under the sun. See, how do you do that? I don't know how you do that. That's a great mystery. But I will say this, it can be done. Because God said it could. When God told you to live joyfully and to rejoice with the wife of your youth, it's because it can be done. Let me tell you what happens a lot of times. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they like each other, they lust after each other, they decide to call it love so they can justify their lust, and they get married. Now, I'm not knocking that. That's just the way it is, and that's the way it's been working for 6,000 years. Something's got to get us together. Amen? But they get married, and then they find out that they're different. They have different ideas and different goals and different ambitions and different desires and different ways of stating what it is they like and don't like. Even a lot of times when we talk about the same thing, we don't say it the same way. Amen? And that's when you have all them seminars on communication. And what happens is after a while, one begins to get bitter at the other or resentful of the other. And so after just a little while in our married life, after there's been a fight or two, a fuss or two, or we've been hurt and wounded in our heart and in our spirit, we begin to carry a little grudge. We mask over it. We pretend it's not there, but it's always there. It's always nagging at us. So we never deal with it. We never get it fixed. And slowly but surely, it's like a little skin ulcer, a little abrasion on your skin or something. If you keep it there long enough and keep agitating it, sooner or later it turns to a cancer. Because you kept irritating it and aggravating it. You never let it get well. And it just got worse and worse and the skin and the tissue deteriorated and it just got it became a thing all of its own. And it has a life of its own, then it grows by itself. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life so that you can rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Say, how do you do that? Well, if you spend as much time making your wife your friend as you do your buddies your friends, you'd have a different kind of life. And you'd have a different kind of wife.
Amen.
Amen. We have all the time in the world to talk to our friends and spend money with them and go places and do things and laugh and tease and cut up. Why in the world can we not do that same thing with that person we profess to love? Now, it takes effort. You have to work at it. But everything in life takes work. There is nothing that I know of, known to mankind, that is of any value that's easy. If it's not hard, if it's not difficult, if it does not require, if it does not make us labor, then we don't value it. We have no respect for anything that's easy. Amen? And if you make it 30, 40, 50 years with a husband or with a wife, I guarantee it ain't been easy. Live joyfully. You know, they say marriage is a wonderful institution, but who wants to live their life in an institution? Now see, I don't like those kind of jokes. Because to me, marriage is what God gave us. The Bible said that your wife is your portion from God. Well, I don't want to live my life like I'm in an institution. I don't want to be filled with bitterness and animosity. I know a couple right now I'm thinking about, and we know them quite well, and they've been married longer than we have, and they fuss and fight all the time. They are always at each other's throats. They're in their 70s. I thought, Lord, I do not want to live like that. God gave me one wife and one life, and I want to enjoy the whole thing. So I made up my mind 30 plus years ago that this is going to be my best friend. I'm going to communicate with her. I'm going to talk to her. I want to share things. I don't keep any secrets from her. The only thing I know that my wife doesn't know is the things that people reveal to me in counseling. That's the only secrets I have. If you told me something and said, preacher, this is between me and you, this pastoral, then it goes to the grave. And that's the God's honest truth. But other than that, I don't keep anything. And when I don't like something, I tell her I don't like it. If I like it, I tell her I like it. She does the same. You know why? I want us to be open and honest, and I don't want anything to get in there and mess up that rapport and that camaraderie and that relationship. I want to be able to laugh with her or to cry with her. I want to be happy and at ease and at peace just because she's in the room. I don't have to be talking to her. Just knowing that she's there is a sense of peace and quietness in my soul. I want to know that if I come home in a bad mood, she will listen and honestly be interested. I want to know that if I come home and I'm ratting and raving and making a fool out of myself, she will sit down and say, you know, you're being a knucklehead here. And do it lovingly and because she cares. That's the relationship I want. That's the way I want to live my life. I want to rejoice with the wife of my youth. This is my portion under the sun. This is what God gave me. And I'm not going to let circumstance or people or popular opinion or psychology or TV or anybody else mess that up. Amen. I've got one shot. That's all you've got. You've got one shot at life. By the grace of God, I'm not going to blow it. I got one wife. By the grace of God, I'm not going to blow it. You say, well, preacher, what about folks who are divorced and remarried? You got one now, right? Don't blow this one. Amen. Don't blow it! Do the best you can. Get in there and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Ladies, love thy husband.
Amen.
Leviticus 21:13.
a man is to take his wife when she's a virgin. Leviticus 21:13 said, and he shall take a wife in her virginity. Now, boy, in our day and age, that'd be tough. Because the TV set has taught them how to play the harlot at 10, 11, 12 years old. And you go over to the high school and watch the little bubble gummers all backed up against the trash cans and the side of the building, body to body, belly to belly. He's holding her little backside and they are smooching like folks that have been married for 25 years. And they are 12 and 13 years old. And if you think I'm exaggerating that, you go on over there any day, 5 days a week, and watch them. And the principals and the teachers don't say one mumbling word. Amen. And a girl that'll do that in public, in broad open daylight, in front of everybody, only God Almighty knows what she'll do when the sun goes down. Amen. What an abomination. It used to be a woman's pride that she was pure, untouched and undefiled when she went to her wedding bed. And that she spent her life and the only man that knew her was her husband. It was a badge of honor. And it ought to be. That's God's plan. Amen. Now, mamas and daddies, little old boy, I'm having a tough time with this message tonight in case you ain't figured it out. It just frustrates me. Here's mom and daddy got a little boy, 15, 16 years old, just got him a driver's license. They give him a 3,000-pound little rocket that'll do 100 miles an hour. They put money in his pocket, and he goes down the street and he picks up somebody's precious little daughter. Now, neither one of them know nothing about nothing. They just heard all the locker room talk. They seen all the filth on television. And on TV, a man can meet a woman, and in less than an hour, they're all in bed. And the idea that the young people have is, everybody's sleeping around and everybody's doing it. It's no big deal. And you know something? They've never done it. And so it's exciting, and it's mysterious, and it's intriguing, and the flesh wants it. And you know what they do? Here's this little 15-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy in this 3,000-pound rocket ship, out at the river, sitting behind some drive-in restaurant, someplace in the dark, for 3 and 4 hours at a time. Or mom and daddy let them come over, and the boy and girl goes to her room or to his room to watch TV, and they close the door. Let me say this as gently as I can. Ain't no way in hell. Amen. You want to date my girl? Come to my house. Sit in our living room and play Monopoly. Watch TV and talk to the folks. Make chocolate chip cookies and drink milk. Amen? But if you think you're getting my sweet little virgin daughter that I've raised and trained and taught all of her life and get out there and in a moment of weakness let her defile herself, you out of your ever-loving mind. Amen? Preacher, you can't do that. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yes, we did. And oh, yes, we would. Amen. And I tell you what, I'll be first in line to help you do that with yours. Amen. Amen. If you try that and it's not going good and you're getting a lot of flack about it, you call me. I'll be on your corner. Right. Amen. I don't care what the school says. I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what your neighbors say. I don't care what the television says. Ain't their kids. Buddy, if they can go down there and go to that wedding bed with a clean conscience and a pure conscience and undefiled, and the preacher can get in the pulpit and preach on anything he wants to, and there's no pricks and there's no pings and there's no pain, thank God for it. Now, thank God us that got all messed up before we knew what was going on. God forgave us, I understand. Thank God for that. But I tell you what, half of the reason I preach is see little girls like that and little boys like that and little boys like that come up clean and pure and get right with God and live that way and never get dirty and never get defiled and never have to come back with remorse and heartache and say, oh, to God, I wish I hadn't done this, that, or the other thing. I'll preach my heart out and I'll take all your venomous abuse if just one of them turns out right. I'm not going to make a sermon, am I? I might as well just finish these verses. Man's to take his wife, she's supposed to be a virgin. You girls that are a virgin, you stay that way.
Amen.
Amen. I think it was old Dr. Larry Brown or one of them guys, I can't remember now. They used to have this message on what a girl ought to carry in her purse when she goes on a date. Now, in the first place, he was wrong because she should have never been out with that guy by herself.
Amen.
Amen. The minimum, the dead minimum, is a supervised double date.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, you are over the top. You've just, I mean, it's just not done now. I don't care how it's done today. I'm not interested in how it's done today. If you want to take my girl out, here are the rules, son. And if you can't go by them, and you break them one time, and it is the last time, there are no second chances. Somebody say amen. Amen. What was I talking about before I got sidetracked again? I'm just having a good time. I'm just having fun. Oh, yeah. He said, every girl goes on that first date with that slimy, sleazy, good-for-nothing little rascal. Said the first time he gets those Roman fingers and Russian hands, she ought to pull out of her pocketbook a ball-peen hammer and break his knuckles. And the first time he runs out of gas on a back road in a dark place, she pulled out of her purse a 5-gallon can of gasoline. And the first time he won't take her home when she says, take me home, she's got a $10 roll of quarters. Make that phone call to daddy. This is back before cell phones, obviously. But he had a whole big long list of things girls ought to have in their pocketbook. He ought to have a sharp high-heel shoe. 3-inch spy heels. And the first time that little sucker tries to put his hand someplace it ain't supposed to go, whacko! Right through the back of his hand. That's good preaching, buddy. Can't remember who you are, but I like that. Amen. Take time to teach your girls how sorry men are, mom and dad.
Amen.
Number 8. A man is to be faithful to his wife. The Bible said in Proverbs 5:18, drink waters out of thine own cistern and not another. Now, Proverbs chapter 5, all you men ought to learn that passage. I mean, you ought to read it and read it and read it. Because that's that passage over there where it said, let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. I just love them. When I was in the Navy one time, I just got saved, you know, and I went through the Bible and I found all them verses on love and I wrote them all down because I was out at sea and had a lot of time and I sent all them verses. I made a letter out of it and I sent it to my wife. Y'all not romantic? Well, listen, son, I've been married 34 years. I've enjoyed this woman.
44,
whatever it is. Save 34. Yeah. I mean, I've been married forever. Ever since I was a pup. You heard about that fellow that went to the psychiatrist? And the psychiatrist said, Mr. Jones, get up on the couch. He said, they won't let me on the couch. He said, okay, well, Mr. Jones, he said, what's your problem? He said, I think I'm a dog. He said, well, how long have you thought you was a dog? He said, ever since I was a pup. drink water out of thine own cistern. Now, the Bible said, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed thereof undefiled. That's the physical relationship between a husband and wife, which is a blessed thing. It was given to us by God. It was ordained by God. We were designed for that. That's the reason the male and the female are compatible. And that's the reason you know homosexuals are out of their mind. Amen. Did you ever notice, you ever go down to the Walmart and buy yourself a garden hose? Did you ever notice that it's got a male end and a female end? Go to any plumbing supply place and buy a fitting. It'll have a male side and a female side. Amen. The wall plugs in your... See, these are what? These wall receptacles are what? They're female. What you plug into them is what? Male. The whole world's set up that way. And then them queers come along and they think we got a male, and it's okay. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. I mean, just nutty as a fruitcake, son. They say, well, God made us that way. No, He didn't. He made you a boy, knucklehead. You're the one who got your head all screwed up and thinks that other guy's a girl. Weirdo. They're all deviants, don't you understand? Perverts. Besides this, you know, when I was a boy, you know, boys will be boys. And when I was in school, they used to have these dictionaries or encyclopedias, and they had these color layover things, you know, human anatomy. And boys always go to the library, we'd look at them. Y'all didn't do that? I'm the only pervert here. That's a boy thing. That's not a girl thing, I guess. But they had them in my school, and they was there, so I figured God put them there for a reason. And I noticed right away in them color layover things that girls looked one way and boys looked another, and boys had some parts and girls didn't, and girls had some parts and boys didn't. I mean, I didn't have to wait till I get grown up to understand we wasn't made the same. Amen? And some of them, they ain't figured it out yet. Anybody can look at a girl and look at a boy and not be able to tell that the boy don't go with the boy goes with the girl. I mean, there's something mentally wrong with them. We need to have them committed. You're just homophobic. Oh, yes, I am. I'm proud to be. I've started the first homophobic association in York County. When I was a boy, we used to go queer knocking. Man, you get in a lot of trouble for that these days. We have to be understanding. We have to be sensitive. I don't. I just don't like queers. And the reason I don't like them is not necessarily because they're such bad people. It's because their mind is obviously degenerated. They can't tell boys from girls. And anybody that mentally deranged needs help. If they're that messed up about something that obvious, what else are they messed up about? Anyway. Be faithful. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. You know, one woman ought to be enough for any one man. Amen. You say, well, you know, we've been married 10 years and, yeah, I know. You let your head get screwed up. That's what's wrong. Do you know something? Your wife still made like she was the night you got married?
Amen.
Yeah, you say, but, well, you know, it's just same old, same old. You think it wouldn't be that way anywhere you go? People say, well, you know, grass is greener on the other side. You know why it's greener on the other side? It's usually built over the sewer. The grass ain't greener on the other side. It's just got a different slant on it. But you get over there, it's the same old grass.
Amen.
And you think that one's going to be different than this one? You're out of your mind. They all just alike.
Amen.
Amen. You delude yourself. And the world helps you. The devil's on your side. Saying, well, you know, I'm just not happy with her anymore. And she doesn't satisfy anymore. Nonsense. Get your head screwed on straight, and it'll be as great and grand and glorious as it ever was. Amen. We're brainwashed. We've watched the TV and listened to the shrinks for so long that we think variety is the spice of life. Who told you that? Who told you that? Don't you think you ought to be enough for your wife? Well, of course. Then don't you think your wife ought to be enough for you?
Amen.
Amen? I mean, aren't you man enough to keep your woman healthy and satisfied and thrilled and excited about you? Aren't you all she needs? Wouldn't you be hurt if you found she needed somebody else and she was disappointed and disillusioned in you?
Sure you would. Looks like it's a two-way street to me.
Amen.
Amen. Don't believe everything you see on television. Don't believe everything you read in Playboy magazine. If you had your heart right, you wouldn't read that dirty magazine in the first place. Why in the world would people watch things and listen to things and read things that are going to tell them how unhappy they are and what they're missing? Why do you do that to yourself? Why not listen to things and watch things and read things to tell you how blessed you are? And how fortunate you are. And how good God has been to you.
Amen.
Abraham Lincoln once said, most people are as happy as they make up their mind to be. Amen. And you make up your mind to be dissatisfied because you watched somebody else, or you heard somebody else, or you and the wife had a little tiff and you went off and the sweet little thing down at the job site was nice and pleasant and she was so comforting and she was there for you. Hey, stupid! She's going to get mad and you're going to fight. She's going to hate your guts and you're going to hate her. And where does it stop? Well, we just learn to love the one we got and concentrate on the good things and the positive things and work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. I'll be honest with you. I think you ought to watch every little detail of your marriage. I think every attitude affects relationship. Little things, subtle things, affect relationship. He said, where's your old lady? My who? Your old lady. Well, I don't have an old lady. My old lady was my great-grandmother, and she's been dead since 1968. Who do you mean, old lady? You know, your wife. Oh, my bride. My sweetheart. My best friend. Who you calling old lady? You know, tick me off.
Amen.
The old man. He should never be the old man. I'm older than her by eons of time. And she was my beautiful, blushing bride when we got married. 44 years ago. Let me tell you something. She's still my bride. And I don't call her old lady. I don't think of her as an old lady. I still find her exciting and attractive and matter of fact, I have a hard time if I spend too much time with her. It just gets me, boy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
That's what God wants. You have to work at it. That you have to want it. Takes two. But you can rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You can love your husband. And you can go to your grave happy and contented and fulfilled and clean.
Amen.
Amen. Number 9, a man should marry his own people. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 27, he said, "You've taught our people to transgress in marrying strange wives." You know, Solomon's great sin, one of his great sins, among several others, was he married, the Bible calls them, outlandish women. Now, that doesn't mean that they wore purple and red and didn't run around in miniskirts. It wasn't that they were dressed outlandishly. When he said he married outlandish women, he means he married women outside the land. Because the Jew was only supposed to marry his own people. But when you go over there and read 1 and 2 Kings and all that, and you find out about Solomon, he made affinity with all the kings around him, and he married their daughters. He married all kind of women he shouldn't have never married. Because they weren't his race. They weren't
his religion. And you know what happened? At the end of Solomon's life, the Bible said, and when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart from following after the Lord. He married women that didn't serve the same God he did.
Amen.
When you get married, if you are white and speak English and you are Baptist, you ought to find a white, English-speaking Baptist girl.
Amen.
And don't find one that will start going to church with you. If I was chasing a girl, I'd be glad to go to church with her on Sunday. Till I get what I want, and then I'll stay home on Sunday. They say, oh, he'll change. No, he won't change for you.
Amen.
Find you one that's already in church and goes to church whether you're there or not.
Amen.
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 Amen. Some of y'all don't like my ideas. That's all right. I'm right anyway.
Amen.
I'm talking about living your life with one man, one woman, and being happy. And it can be done. And it is done. It takes effort. It takes time. It's hard work. But it is worth it.
Amen.
Now, some people jeopardize themselves when you marry somebody from another culture, another color, another religion. All you have done is added terrible obstacles to making it work.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't say that because I'm against blacks marrying whites. And I am against blacks marrying whites. And I'm against whites marrying yellow. And I'm against black marrying yellow. And I'm against yellow marrying anything but yellow.
Amen.
I think black ought to marry black, and white ought to marry white, and yellow ought to marry yellow.
Amen.
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 And I think Baptist ought to marry Baptist.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Say why? Because if you don't, all you're doing is putting something out there for us to fight over down the road. My wife's got a nephew or something that just married a Filipino lady. And she may be a sweet little girl. She seems to be a sweet little girl. But, buddy, I'm telling you, the way she's raised and the way she looks at things are totally different than the way he does.
Amen.
They have a real communication problem.
Amen.
I didn't say that the white race was superior or better or more blessed or any. I didn't say any of that. I'm not talking about one being better than the other. I'm not talking about one looking down on another. I'm saying we are different. And that when it comes to marriage, you put an obstacle in there that is almost insurmountable. Not to mention what you do with the kids. My time is up, is it not? Man's relationship with his wife is good and clean. You know what the Bible said? You ought to think about this sometime. Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Do you ever notice that you can take two people who are properly modest, and people who are godly are modest? We do not run around showing off our nakedness. We do not reveal our body. It is supposed to be covered up.
Amen.
We don't take off our clothes in front of people. And if I came and knocked on your door and your wife was in the house in her underwear, she would not answer the door that way. You go cover up. Unless we go to the beach. But if you came to your house, I guess it's different that way. But if you came to your house, you say, why didn't you just come like you were? Because she's modest. I don't want to reveal her nakedness. She's not going to. It's retarded, right? It's amazing how we feel about things like that. Yet, you ever notice that folks get married? Maybe that
first night and that first week or so, we're a little shy and a little squeamish. But pretty soon we become accustomed to each other's presence. And now we're not embarrassed anymore. We're not intimidated anymore. We don't run and jump behind the door anymore. We can be in each other's company, in each other's presence. And we're not embarrassed or ashamed. You know why that is? Because the relationship is right. It's given to us by God. And you can enjoy that intimate, personal relationship with your husband, with your wife, without shame. Now, if you flirt, if you're married and you flirt with somebody else, your conscience bothers you all day long. Did somebody see me? Is somebody going to say something? Is this going to get out? I mean, see why? Because it's not clean. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. That means your conscience kills it. Isn't it wonderful how God has fixed it so that a married man and a married woman, married to each other, don't have to be embarrassed, don't have to be ashamed. We can be as close and as personal and as intimate as it is possible to be. And we have perfect peace and even joy because that's the way God Almighty ordained it to be. And any other relationship will bring shame and fear and dread and cover up. But that marriage relationship, we never give a second thought. Because it's right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we're sorry we never got to the message, but perhaps we can do that again someday. I pray, Lord, we've said something to encourage God's people. Those folks who have been married for a long, long time. And we tend to get ho-hum. We tend to get commonplace. We tend to get apathetic in our marriage. We tend to let down or take it for granted. Lord, stir us up. Help us to keep it alive. Help us to rejoice with each other. Lord, younger couples and the boys and the girls who aren't married yet, may they see in us an example of how marriage ought to be and how happy and how blessed it can be. And may they make that their goal and their pursuit in life. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lots and lots of maters.